Good morning. This is Nancy Pippin with the Pantograph for August 6, 2018. And we begin today's readings with the front page, where we find out that the weather is going to be partly cloudy with a high of 90 and a low of 70, and that we are looking at voters to vote on pay engines in Normal. And we have an event that marks 20 years of lifting schools in prayer. We also have six held after a drone attack on the president of Venezuela, and that President Trump meeting was for Clinton info. So this is about the Russian investigation. So we'll start out today here locally with the event to mark 20 years lifting schools in prayer. We have a large picture, a lovely picture of Deanne Thompson on the right, and she's maintaining her enthusiasm for Open the School Year in Prayer program as she plans the event with Victory Church Pastor Jared Harold. Thompson has led the initiative for 20 years, and she has several file folders in front of her, and she is, the outline, the agenda is all set forth. So here we go. Organizers, tragedies since Columbine show the need for God remains. The final days of summer break typically include shopping for school supplies and soaking up a few more trips to the pool. Deanne Thompson of Normal has one more task on her back-to-school list, prayer. We need prayer as much as the school administrators hope there won't be a tragedy. No matter how many plans are put in place, no human being can make the plan to keep every school child and school employee safe every minute, says Thompson. So that's why I believe we need to turn to God to ask for His protection before the school doors even open. As a retired first grade teacher, Thompson is the organizer of the Opening the School Year in Prayer, celebrating the 20th year of prayer. The event will be at 7 p.m. Tuesday in the Foundry of Eastview Christian Church. That's at 1500 North Airport Road in Normal. When Thompson was a teacher, she said she took time daily to pray for her students, peers, and their families. Then in 1999, the 1999 shooting at Columbine High School shook the country. It had an impact on our entire nation. It was unthinkable. I felt I was being led to organize a prayer service in Bloomington Normal that would occur before school started, she said. For two decades, hundreds of students, parents, community members, school staff members, and retired teachers have come together at Eastview for an evening of prayer over Twin City schools. I think our community cares. We just need to step up and be the ones to come out on that night and pray together. It's a beautiful sense of unity to see people gather from different churches, schools, and parts of the community to do this, she said. During the hour-long event, the community is invited to come together for musical worship and use prayer to lift up students of all ages, school staff members, and emergency first responders. Thompson said the event is always timely, but especially after dozens of shootings were reported in schools in early 2018, leaving many families and students on edge. We all want schools to be focused on learning and on excellence and growth, rather than having the shadow of insecurity looming over them, said Thompson. Norma Brown of Normal, a retired teacher, has attended the service for several years. She said she believes the 2012 shooting incident at Normal Community High School resulted in no injuries or fatalities because of the power of prayer. It's a wonderful thing to unify the community and focus on the school system, which is a major pillar of our society, said Brown. If everyone is focused on education, we need a lead guidance counselor, and that would be our Heavenly Father. The first day of school is on August 16th at McLean County Unit 5 and August 20th for Bloomington District 87. Thompson has a motto for the event. See a bus, say a prayer. Kinda says it all. Whenever you see a yellow bus driving around town, take a few seconds to say a prayer for the driver, the children, and their school, she said. Prayer for school doesn't only have to be on August 7th. It can be an all-the-time thing. If you want for more information on this particular article, Julie Evelsizer at 309-820-3254 is available, or you could follow her on Twitter at PG_EVELISIZER. And I will go back here and quickly give you the capsule of what's happening. It's the opening of the school year in prayer, an hour-long worship event with music and prayer over schools in the Twin City community, open to all ages and faiths. When is 7 p.m. Tuesday, and where? The Foundry at Eastview Christian Church, 1500 North Airport Road, Normal. The second local item on our front page is Normal to vote on pay engines. COLA raises NFD vehicles on agenda. Normal could tweak a cash-strapped budget to make up for two unexpectedly large expenses Monday. The town will spend $381,000 to $51,000 more than expected to give employees cost of living raises and about $1.14 million on new fire engines after one caught fire early this year, pending City Council approval. Because the two fire engines will be replaced before the town planned, which was to be in 2021 and 2026 respectively, it would absorb about $200,000 in costs on top of the $783,000 drawn from reserves and an $170,000 insurance payout on that burned engine, said Normal City Manager Pam Reese. Both engines are expected to be delivered in June, Reese said. That will enable the department to stop using more expensive ladder trucks when it would generally use a fire engine, which reduces the wear and tear to those pricey vehicles. We budgeted for a 2% increase, said Reese, of the raises, a 2.22% increase in for October 1st for 241 employees in classified positions. These are employees not working under a contract but based on changes to the consumer price index. Normal fire workers receive 2.75% annual raises and Normal police 2.85% under collective bargaining agreements. Previous cost of living adjustments included a 0.64% this April, 1.4% last October, 0.2% last April, 1.9% October 2016. April of 2016, there was no raise. In October 2015, there was a 1.63% raise. However, in April of 2015, there were no raises. So unlike McLean County, the town did not stop giving employees raises as part of its budget cuts this year. Both organizations cut Both organizations cut employees and services instead. We can't discount raises for contract employees, and I don't think it's fair to penalize your non-union employees in that situation, said then Normal City Manager Mark Peterson of the decision. County officials have said they hope to restore employee raises for 2019. In other business, the council will consider an electronic waste agreement with Bloomington and McLean County. The town's e-waste facility at 1301 Warriner Street is opening a new, larger building and is now the county's official disposal site. Officially dedicated were the Mark R. Peterson Plaza, the area between Uptown Station and the Children's Discovery Museum, in honor of the former city manager who retired at the end of March. And Normal's David S. Anderson Park also is dedicated to the former city manager. If you'd like more information about this article and the council meeting, contact Derek By at 309-820-3234 or follow him on Twitter at PG_BEIGH. And now we'll go back to the front page, or continuing our front page coverage. And in the national news, we have an article, Trump meeting was for Clinton info. Sun's 2016 talks with Russian legal president tweets. This is out of Bridgewater, New Jersey, where President Donald Trump on Sunday acknowledged that the 2016 Trump Tower meeting between a Kremlin-connected lawyer and his son was to collect information about his political opponent, casting new light on a moment central to the special counsel's Russia probe. Trump, amid a series of searing tweets sent from his New Jersey golf club, tore into two of his favorite targets, the news media and Robert Mueller's ongoing investigation into possible links between the president's campaign and Russia. Trump unleashed particular fury at reports that he was anxious about the Trump Tower meeting attended by Donald Trump Jr. and other senior campaign officials. Quote, fake news reporting a complete fabrication that I am concerned about the meeting my wonderful son Donald had in Trump Tower. Trump wrote, quote, this was a meeting to get information on an opponent totally. And there's a picture of the president speaking Tuesday during a rally in the Lewis Center in Ohio. And the article continues saying that the meeting was legal and done all the time in politics, and it went nowhere. I did not know about it. And that's with an exclamation mark. End quote. But 13 months ago, Trump gave a far different explanation for the meeting. A July 2017 statement dictated by the president read, we primarily discussed a program about the adoption of Russian children that was active and popular with American families years ago. But since then, the story about the meeting has changed several times, eventually forced by the discovery of emails between the president's eldest son and an intermediary from the Russian government offering damaging information about Trump's opponent, Hillary Clinton, betraying no surprise or misgivings about the offer from a hostile foreign power, Trump Jr. replied, quote, if it's what you say, I love it, especially later in the summer. Sunday's tweet was Trump's clearest statement yet on the purpose of the meeting, which has become a focal point of Mueller's investigation. Even as the president and his lawyers try to downplay its significance and pummel the Mueller probe with attacks, on Sunday, Trump again suggested without evidence that Mueller was biased against him, declaring, quote, this is the most one-sided witch hunt in the history of our country, end quote. And as Trump and his allies have tried to discredit the probe, a new talking point has emerged that even if that meeting was held to collect damaging information, none of these proved and collusion, quote in quotes, Trump's go-to description of what Mueller is investigating never occurred. And so then we'll go back now. We will look at some international news. Six held after a drone attack, and this was in Venezuela, on Maduro, who is their president. Authorities detained six people suspected of using explosive-laden drones in a failed bid to assassinate Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro, officials said Sunday, in what one witness described as a terrifying attack that shook her apartment building. The government alleged that opposition factions conspired with assailants in Miami and Bogota, although they offered no specific evidence. Opposition leaders decried Madero's for broadly singling out his political opponents, and they warned he may use it to further suppress his critics. The thwarted attack comes as Venezuela is reeling from a worsening economic and humanitarian crisis, and Madero has grown increasingly isolated. Foreign nations, including the United States, are slapping economic sanctions against a growing list of high-ranking officials and decrying his government as an autocratic regime. The assailants flew two drones, each packed with 2.2 pounds of C4 plastic explosives, toward Maduro, his wife, and other top leaders as he spoke Saturday evening at events celebrating the 81st anniversary of the National Guard, said Interior Minister Nestor Revolo. One of the drones was to explode above the president, while the others was to detonate directly in front of him, he added. But the military managed to knock down one of the drones off course electronically, and the other crashed into an apartment building two blocks away from Maduro, where he was speaking to hundreds of troops, Rivarlo said. Quote, we have six terrorists and assassins detained, Rivarlo said. Quote, in the next hours, there could be more arrests. Of those arrested, Rivarlo said two had previous run-ins with the government, although he did not give their names or say what charges they faced. One took place in a 2014 protest that rocked the nation as it descended into an economic crisis that is now worse than the Great Depression. The other had a warrant out for his arrest for participating in an attack on military barracks. Defense Minister Vladimir Padrino Lopez, appearing on state television Sunday, said the attackers were aiming to decapitate Venezuela's entire top leadership along with Maduro. Investigators continued searching a blackened apartment building near the site while also seizing vehicles and raiding more than one hotel where they said they found, quote, film evidence. Two witnesses who live in the nearby apartment building said they saw a drone hovering over a residential street Saturday evening, then heard an explosion. One witness showed the Associated Press cell phone video of a drone crashing into a building. He said the drone fell to the ground and exploded, igniting a fire in an apartment. Another witness, Mariam Gonzalez, described running in panic to her fifth-floor balcony where she heard a second explosion and saw smoke rising. Quote, it was so strong the building shook, she said, it terrified me. In an address to the nation Saturday night, the visibly shaken Maduro recalled seeing a flying device that exploded. At first, he thought it might be a pyrotechnics display. Within seconds, Maduro said he heard a second blast and pandemonium broke out. Bodyguards escorted him from the event, covering him with black shields, and TV footage showed uniformed soldiers break formation and scatter. Quote, this was an attempt to kill me, said Maduro. And there is a picture here on page 2 of a criminal investigator collecting evidence Saturday in a parking lot where an allegedly armed drone crashed into a building in Caracas, Venezuela. That concludes the articles from page 1, but we have on page 2 here the interim president seeking to unify SIU after Dunn's ouster. This is by Isaac Smith, and it comes out of Springfield. J. Kevin Dorsey used his background as a medical doctor to assess the state of the Southern Illinois University system. Quote, clearly the system has to be healed because if one part of us is sick, it's going to infect the entire body or entire system, Dorsey said. Dorsey was appointed as interim SIU system president in July after the board accepted the resignation of the polarizing former system president Randy Dunn. Dorsey, a former dean of SIU Medical School of Medicine, took the temporary helm of the system last week following Dunn's last day on the job on July 30th. Public trust in Dunn to lead the university system evaporated after a trove of internal documents revealed he had worked to design a $5.1 million reallocation fund to the Edwardsville campus, as well as assisted in creation of legislation that would have separated the two campuses. Dorsey was upfront about his task of reunification and did not mince words about the difficulty of the challenge. He says, "We both know that this is not something I'm going to wave a wand and it will be all better," Dorsey said. "Everyone involved in both schools are going to have to shake off the negativity and adjust their focus," he said. Quote, "I think we have to get our collective act together and ask ourselves, why are we here?" Dorsey said of the discord in the university system. However, he said his approach will be measured. "My style is not to beat people into submission. That's not going to do it." He said he plans to operate on a system that is, quote, "less driven by fear and more by opportunity." Dorsey wouldn't talk much about the issues that got done in hot water. He said he's not talked much, if at all, about the legislation that would dissolve the system. Quote, "I don't introduce legislation. I've not talked with anybody about this," he said, "and regarding the ongoing restructuring of the Carbondale campus." Dorsey said he hasn't been on the job long enough to really, quote, wrap his arms around it, and chose to speak generally about Chancellor Carlo Montenegro's plan. "I've got to support him and do what I can to help that effort," Dorsey said. He added that people on the ground system-wide, but particularly at the Carbondale campus, need to look at things from all sides and work toward the best future for the school. Quote, "We've got to have people stand in each other's shoes and look at others' work from a different perspective, really," Dorsey said. Quote, I think everybody tends to look at their own department, college institution, classrooms, whatever it is, and they see the world through that lens, and it's kind of myopic, which means short-sighted. And again, returning to his base of medicine, Dorsey characterized his job this way. He says, quote, "In medicine, we tend to look at not just the individual patient, but what about the entire population? Can we focus on the common good?" Board Chair Amy Scholler has previously said there would be an August meeting of the Board of Trustees to discuss the search for a permanent replacement for Dunn. However, a date for the meeting has not yet been published on the board's website. Here's some information you might be interested in. It's called Grant Aids Firefighter Health. We're now on page 3, and this brief article is about the Normal Fire Department. It says the Normal Fire Department has been awarded a grant to help fund an annual firefighter physical fitness and wellness program. It's an unfortunate statistic, that more firefighters are dying from medical emergencies such as overexertion, physical stress, and cardiac problems than are dying as a result of the smoke or the fire itself, said Fire Chief Mick Hummer. Hummer also noted the department is, quote, no stranger to the trend here. Unfortunately, over the span of 3 years, we experienced the loss of 3 of our active members, and 2 of those deaths were attributed directly to undiagnosed cardiac problems. In 2016, we had a seemingly healthy member have a near-death experience from a heart cardiac emergency and has since retired as a result. The Normal Fire Department is one of only 12 departments in Illinois to receive an Assistance to Firefighters grant. The money, totaling around $76,000, will be used to fund annual health evaluations and occupational health screenings such as lung testing, auditory testing, advanced echocardiograms, chest x-rays, and cancer screenings, said the department. The result of these screenings remain confidential, but they will allow the department to tailor fitness and wellness incentives for its members. In addition, the department's physical fitness program will introduce a peer-supported fitness model where firefighters will work with their crews to meet fitness goals, and also will include group physical training by local physical trainers and health agencies. Normal Firefighters Local 2442 worked with town and department administrators to write the grant proposal to develop the program. In a statement, Matt Hill, president of the union, said it's very important for our firefighters to recognize how important their health is to themselves and the citizens that depend on us. I'm very pleased that the town of Normal Fire Administration and Local 2442 are working together to make wellness and fitness a top priority. The grant total NFD will contribute 10% of the program, or around $6,900, with the grant covering the remaining amount of $69,000. So that is some good news that we want to hear about our firefighters and just public health in general. It's a good thing. Okay. And if you are in Gibson City, Gibson City Outreach Weekend is set. Many Gibson City churches and organizations will join together August 25th through the 26th for Community Outreach Weekend, previously called Poured Out Church. The effort will include washing windshields, bagging groceries, staging drives for paper, household products and care items for military members, serving the food pantry, helping with home repairs, yard work, and painting, singing at nursing homes, and praying for the community. A community lunch and fellowship will be at noon, August 26th at the North Park Pavilion. And as we close, here comes the flick fact for you. Are you ready? All right, today's flick fact question. Cliff Noble and Chuck Barnes have 5 stores in central Illinois, including 2 in Bloomington Normal. Can you name what and where are those stores? Trick. Let's see what it is. He always has such good questions. Well, you can figure out the stores if you answered Barnes & Noble, with 1 store in Schnucks Plaza in Bloomington and the other in Illinois State University's Bone Student Center, Normal. And we're going to take a short break now and return with the second half of the Pantograph for August the 6th, 2018. So please, stay tuned.